Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, welcome to the Brad and Bunny Basketball Podcast, featuring former Sydney Kings captain and multimedia performer Brad Rosen, alongside Australia's longest-serving basketball writer and blogger, Buddy Nodge, and me, Gilar the Invincible, the voice of a man you just had to have. Now, talking all things NBL and WNBL, here's Bradley.
What a week in basketball it has been. But let's talk about the number one overall. The Opals, they've qualified for the Olympic Games. Fantastic effort, Body. Everyone's so happy.
Yes, it was an excellent performance. And it built, you know, against France in the opening game, they were a bit unlucky to cop France first because you're playing in Bourges, which is in France, so they've got the home crowd behind them. They're psyched for it. And so they lost that one 72-63, never looked in sync, never looked quite, you know, they had a lot of turnovers, they just weren't quite there yet. They beat Puerto Rico by 26 points.
Let me jump in there. One thing. After we lost, everyone was like, what's going on with the Opals? Have we picked the wrong coach? What's going on? I mean, it was like, come on. It was one game.
Yeah.
And they just didn't play well. First time together in a sense for ages. But geez, they bounced back beautifully against Puerto Rico. And I'll let you talk about that 174. And then obviously rounding out Brazil with a great win, 86-72. Over to you.
Well, that was a big one because Brazil hasn't missed an Olympics since 1988. So they had lost an overtime game to Puerto Rico, which was the one that was out of the box that no one expected. And so they were fired up to beat the Opals. And we've had a great rivalry with them going back a long time. So that 86-72 win was a really gutsy win by the Opals. And it was, it's a little bit deceptive, the final scoreline there, Brad, because that thing was still, it was 70-78 with just a few minutes to go. It was wide open. They had a couple of chances. Brazil to score didn't, and we took full advantage. Leilani Mitchell's last quarter was one of the best I've ever seen from her.
Brilliant.
And, yeah, it was a very, very good victory and one that you could go, okay, so now if they had played Puerto Rico first, Brazil second, maybe they would have got France in a third game of this series because they
Well, you and I spoke about it last week, and we said they only had to get one or two wins, whatever it was. So, you know, I don't think they would have been worried about the France thing. They went over there. I mean, they probably didn't have their strongest team with the injuries that have happened in Australia. So I thought they did exactly what they went to do. The whole sole purpose of this was to get to the Olympics. They've qualified, and we move on. I think it was a great effort.
Absolutely. And knowing that Jenna O'Hay, the captain of this team, and that Nicole Seacamp, who was selected on this team, will be available by the time the Olympics roll around. Not only available, they'll be back to full fitness.
Yeah.
It gives them some real good selection quantity.
And just a reminder, I agree. And just a reminder, obviously, Jenna O'Hay was the knee, if I'm not, no, hand, sorry, the broken hand, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the broken hand.
Mr. Southside doesn't remember.
I know,
injury.
My God, I'm getting myself confused. But she's got the broken hand, and then obviously the really bad sprain. So hopefully they will be right by Olympics. That's absolutely no doubt. But
of course, And so therefore there'll be selection dilemmas then, because there's a couple of question marks over some of the players here. We can talk about that in a minute. So generally speaking, I thought they did exactly what they were required to do. They came back with the result they were required to come back with, and we should be very happy for them and not too concerned, although I am a little bit.
Yeah, so let me go straight into that then. I'm going to ask you, can they win a medal?
Oh, yeah, they can win. Absolutely.
Will they?
Can win. I don't think so. I think they're going to be really up against it. The 12 teams that have qualified for the Olympics, listen to this. There's Australia, Belgium, Canada, China, France, Japan, Korea, Nigeria, Puerto Rico, Serbia, Spain, and the USA. Now, let's have a look at the teams that will give us trouble. Belgium, they played off for the bronze medal at the World Cup. They had one of the big improvers in world basketball. Canada. Have we ever heard of Kia Nurse? She plays for Canada. Kayla Alexander, who was a starter for the Lightning last year when they made the grand final. She plays for Canada. That Canadian team is going to be a problem. France just beat us. So they will be thinking, we have Australia's number. Japan, we've been Japan's bunny for the last two, three times we've met them.
We have, haven't we? I don't know what it is with that team. Yeah.
We only just snuck past them at the Rio Olympics as well. So they have no qualms about us. Serbia, that was the team that knocked us out in Rio. So they're going to have no particular fears for us. Spain, that's the team that we beat in the semi-final of the World Cup to get to the championship game. So they're going to be right there with us. And then you've got, of course, the USA, which, you know, they're the team that we just go automatically. They're going to win the gold medal. So that's the team we have to beat for gold. But hang on a second. Before we ever get to that conversation, let's have a conversation about Belgium, Canada, Japan, Serbia, Spain, France. This is going to be a real battle. If the Opals come home with a medal from the Tokyo Olympics of any color, we should be absolutely overjoyed doing cartwheels and handstands because it will have been a phenomenal performance. This field is phenomenal. And you've got, I'm not mentioning China, Korea, and Nigeria and Puerto Rico, but you've got to remember that they will be putting their best foot forward too. They'll be the best 12 players from those countries.
Yeah,
they won't be pushovers. We'll, you know, but they're the ones you would expect to get. Puerto Rico having qualified for the first time in that country's history, that'll be huge for women's basketball in that country. But honestly, Brad, I don't think we're any lay down Mazaire to get a medal in Tokyo. And if they do, we should be well proud of it.
Well, I must admit, I thought we would get a medal. And after listening to you, I'm now really nervous. So thanks for that. So I appreciate it. I want to talk a little bit more to you and I want to go straight into the WNBL. Right. So we talk about the Opals and it's brilliant. And now we go straight into what will be a fantastic playoff series. Of course, it starts with the Capitals at home against the Boomers and then the Southside, my girls, the Southside Flyers versus the Body Nodge Lightning. I want to get your feeling. I'm going for the home team series to be able to do this. And I want to get your thoughts.
Look, Canberra, Melbourne, Canberra, that's on Sunday in Canberra. I expect Canberra to go 1-0 up in that series. Adelaide Southside, a lot of this hinges on the injury status of Nicole Seacamp. You know, I read some report somewhere that said, oh, she'll be playing. I don't think that that's any certainty. It's a four-week injury, and so they're looking to try and maybe get her across the line for game two. If she was to play game one, that would be quite an extraordinary development. And also we've got that's with her ankle injury that she suffered in the last home game of the regular season. And then also Natalie Hurst, who's playing her farewell season after winning seven championships with Canberra. She's been dealing with a plantar fasciitis situation in her foot all season, and I don't think she's training at the moment. So their point guard and their backup point guard are both questionable, and if they were to play to be past healthy, I would not be surprised to see Adelaide get an upset over Southside. But if they are not, absolutely, Southside Flyers 17-4, how could you pick against them?
Yeah, look, I mean, the injuries is massive for Southside, and that is going to play a huge implication to all of this. I think it's hard to say, like, who's coming in with the best form. Like, they've both, all four teams have been up and down over the last few weeks, so yeah.
Injury contingent. And I think right now, out of the four, you know that Jenna O'Hay's not coming back.
Yep.
It's questionable. That's for Southside. Questionable about Seacamp for the entire series at Adelaide. Melbourne, we're not sure about the status of Lindsay Allen. She no doubt will be playing, but we're not, you know, is she 90%, 80%, 100%? No one knows. Canberra is probably in the best shape. They've got Kelsey Griffin back. Keely Froling decided to play already, despite, you know, the surgery and getting a face back from the broken nose and the shattered cheekbone. So they're probably in the best shape in terms of having their team together. Tolo's coming back from the Opals duty. Olivia Pooper from France is coming back from Opals duty. That I actually suddenly think, well, Canberra, they're healthy at the right time, whereas the other three all have question marks.
So are you sticking with what you said a few weeks ago? You think it's Canberra-Adelaide grand final?
Oh, when I said that, that was when O'Hay had got injured and Adelaide was healthy. Now Adelaide's got health issues too, so I'm not as confident about that as I was a few weeks ago before Nicole or Natalie Hurst went down. So now, you know, having seen Southside beat Adelaide in that time, I'm not as convinced with that. I do like Southside. They have had a very good season. So, that one is really injury contingent. If the Lightning get their players back, then I like them for an upset, especially in game two. But if not, then it's going to be a Canberra Southside series, which, you know, given that they were 1-2 all season, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, well, all I know is it's going to be a ripper of a series, and I can't wait. You've heard it all there, the WNBL wrap and the Opals qualifying for what will be a fantastic Olympics.
Highlight of the week.
Well, I know we've just spoken about it for a number of minutes here, but I just can't go across the Opals qualifying. It was brilliant. They did exactly what they do. And I thought, even with the fact that they were against it after their first game that they lost, there was questions being asked, and I'm sure there was questions being asked in the camp as well. But they came out, got two fantastic wins, and I think credit has to go to the team and the coaching staff. That was my highlight.
Yep.
What about you?
Mine was the reaction when they beat Brazil. Just the reaction among the players. Rebecca Allen on the bench, who was unlucky to miss on the Rio Olympic team 4 years ago, just in tears on the bench, just the general relief and joy and happiness within that group to see it in that way, unfettered, and they didn't sort of hide anything. They were very emotional, and I thought that was a damn good
thing. I want to actually ask you a little bit about that, because I watched it, and I thought it was magnificent and great TV,
yep.
But it actually surprised me a little bit, because I'm thinking to myself, hang on, they would have known they're going to the Olympics, but obviously within something that meant so much to them, which was amazing. So I don't want to say I don't understand, but it sort of shocked me a little bit, because I really thought, like all of us, oh, you're going to the Olympics, you know it.
Yes.
So yeah. That sort of was my take on that.
Well, they could have afforded to even have lost narrowly and still made it, because it would have been a three-way tie with Puerto Rico, Brazil, and Australia then. And that would have been points difference, and the fact that they'd beaten Puerto Rico by 26 would have stood them in really good stead. So they probably would have got through anyway. So, yes, I'm sort of agreeing with you, in as much as the extent of the joy and bliss of it was probably surprising. But then you just don't know how many of those people for whom the Olympics is the biggest thing in their lives, and knowing that they're going to that. I mean, like Rebecca Allen, she's starting for Australia, so she'll be in the team. I don't know with some of the others, you know, but just knowing that they've qualified Australia for that, that would fill you with pride, with relief, with joy. So, yeah, I just thought it was a great thing to see.
Oh, I think it's a great one that you mentioned. And again, congratulations to the Opals. We're all so proud of you. What's your highlight for the men's, mate?
For the men's, well, I'm into emotion. And I just thought the New Zealand Breakers' reaction after they beat Brisbane, they were down 81-85 going into the last couple of minutes. And they pulled off an 8-0 run to go to 89-85. Then Brisbane scored to get it back to 87. And then Finn Delaney made that basket for 91-87. Their reaction, again, it was reminded me of when they won previously, when they probably shouldn't have in Brisbane, when there was an unfortunate, unsportsmanlike failure that
the turned game, that game dagger around. Three. The game dagger three by Scotty Hobson.
Yeah, that was after Tom Abercrombie hit two crucial free throws and it was on the additional possession. So they stole that one, but they didn't steal this one. This one was a really well-executed finish, and I was just really happy for them for what they've achieved, because both of those teams went into that game with their finals fate in their own hands. The Breakers stood up, got it. The Bullets failed. It's as simple as that. And in seeing their reaction, I was really rapt. Now tell me, what did you enjoy?
Jeez, man, you get a bit sentimental. What's going on here? Two little sentimental things.
Old and soft.
I'm looking for Body Nodge. Can you guys put him onto the cap? I don't know where he's gone, but I'm going to go sentimental as well. I loved after the game with the interview with Scotty Hobson. When he turned around, it wasn't a sarcastic thing. It wasn't like a big noting thing. It was like, yeah, I just knew I needed to be ready for this game, and I wanted to prove to everyone that I was the best player in the league. Now, again, when you make statements like that, it's a massive step, but he backed it up.
Yep.
And he was an arm's length ahead of Lamar Patterson.
Yeah.
Like, he went to work in that game.
Yep.
And you got to give credit where credit's due. I know I say that bit a bit. That was phenomenal. And for him to turn around and go, yeah, I just had to get mentally prepared for this, and I knew I had to prove I was the best player in the league. Boom. Drop the mic. I loved it. That was my highlight.
And for me, he was my player of the week in the NBL, not just because of that statement, but because he absolutely backed it up. That was a game they had to win. He had to perform, tick both boxes.
Well, of course, we're now going to go into the NBL. And, Boddy, I want to throw this at you, because what a weekend we have up and coming. I can tell you that 1-4, None of those positions are guaranteed. I can tell you the Sydney, Perth and Cairns are guaranteed in the four.
Yes.
But Sydney's not guaranteed one. Perth's not guaranteed two. And Cairns could actually get as high as three, but all three of them can't finish lower, right?
Okay.
So I'll just break it down for you a little bit. So great wins on the weekend by certain teams, and we'll talk about that. But for the Sydney Kings, and I just want to run this through for all our listeners, or nine of them, or what are we up to, buddy?
Stop it. We're up to 500.
500? Where did you plug that from?
No, that's sort of like 0.500.
Oh,
like
right, that's better. I do have to say to our listeners, thank you so much for all the tweets and messages we get where I'm listener X or I'm number 20 or I'm I love it. So keep it coming. Body and I have a great chuckle. But I'll just let you know, Sydney Kings 19-8 at the moment. They win on Friday night, guaranteed top spot. Doesn't matter what happens. But if they lose, they would then, which is not going to happen, but then the Hawks, then the Wildcats would have to beat the 36ers by about a 49-point difference, depending on what the Sydney Illawarra game go. So you can pretty much say Sydney's locked up one. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. No offense to Illawarra, but they've been dead in the water for a month. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, once the whole thing started to fall apart, injuries, LaMelo going home, all that, they're done. They're cooked. And this game is in Sydney. It's sort of, they don't even have the benefit of home court. Hopefully the Hawks fans, I mean, they're real hard-headed fans, those Hawks fans, and that's great. Hopefully they make the trip and support their team, but they're not going to beat Sydney.
No, they're not. 17,500 people at the last game. I was there commentating that. It was a great atmosphere. I'm there again this Friday night to commentate, so I'll be very interested. Yeah. A shout-out also to Tommy Gallup. He's been announced as the Kings, there's a special word they're saying, it's the player
ring of
the
honor
team.
Isn't it?
That's ring of honor, yeah, whatever it is. I'm actually going to be interviewing him and stuff, but a great guy. I think I just said so. I'm Perth, so we go to second spot, Perth, Adelaide 36ers this Saturday at home. Now Perth will finish second if anything goes well, but if the Kings lose, they have that 49-point win, which we don't think. I can't see anything but a win. Adelaide are a train wreck, body. I don't know what's going on with them. They're just not right at all.
No, that has been sort of disintegrating during the course of the season. I mean, they're going with two imports, really, because Ramon Moore, if you look at what he's done over the course of this season, he may as well have not been there. And I mean, I don't think there's any offence to Ramon. He's been a great player for the club, but injuries, etc., he hasn't been any value to them. You've had erratic performances from Jerome Randle. One week he's scoring a winning basket over in New Zealand, and the next week, you know, he's in single digits. Eric Griffin, they've had to bring him off the bench because he was always in foul trouble if he started. So when he's come off, come on into games, he's either been fabulous or terrible. So they have had some issues right there. The guys that they expected to step up, you know, we've got a rookie of the year from last season at Adelaide in Harry Froehling. I don't think his numbers have been that great this year. They've got Brendan Teague starting at this stage in his career, Obi Shea, as they call him, Anthony Drimmick, another one. I think Obi works really hard, does a lot of good things, but he can't finish. And Anthony
he's a
Drimmick,
good role player. Yeah. I think he could play a really good role in a team, but I agree, he's not a starting four.
Not in a winning team, not in a successful team. And then you've got Drimmick, who I think has been another player that didn't really take the step. He threatened to, he did in a few games, he showed it, but he didn't do it for the season. So you've got a situation where that was a team that needed everybody to perform every night for them to get the best possible result. And now we know that you saw the last week I broke that Joey would be leaving at the end of this season. Joey Wright as coach, I broke the website, and they were both interviewed, him and the owner Grant Kelly, during the course of the telecast of the last game against Cairns, and their answers were certainly not definitive that yes, he will be back to fulfill the last 2 years of his contract. There was nothing definitive said. Nothing said that he wouldn't be, but nothing said that he would be. I think we know he won't be. And so, they're going to go over. They're just going to limp into
the
Perth.
Do you know what
hopefully
I didn't like about all of that? When I saw Brendan Teague having an interview, and that guy is the heart and soul of that club, right?
Yes.
With DJ, I understand that, right? Yep. But I love what Brendan Teague brings. He cops a crap load, you know, should he be there, shouldn't he? The guy's got 200 games. He's one of the top excellence or whatever, from Adelaide. There's not that many players that have played 200 games for Adelaide. Credit where credit's due. But what I didn't like is when I see him interviewed and they asked, you know, John Casey, you know, one of the best broadcasters, asked him, you know, what, you know, how's it been? And he's like, yeah, it's been tough. You know, like you could see the drain on him that he obviously has a great relationship with the coach, right? Yep. As if you wouldn't when you've played that many years under him. He has a great relationship and you could see that he drained him. And that's what disappoints me when a player, they know there's some crap going on behind the scenes. We don't know what it is. We won't know until months down the track. But it's a shame. And I know, you know, people say in the media, oh, we're professional and we've just got to play on. No, that's crap. That's absolute crap. I've been through this situation. I had a season at the Sydney Kings where we went through eight different imports. Eight imports in one season. Remember I was in the lift. I may have told this story one time before. I was in a lift and we had Brian Caver playing with us, right? He came to training on the Monday. We fly to Melbourne on the Friday. He trained a couple of times with us. In the lift on the way down to our pre-game meal, I'm in there with Bruce Buffy Bolden and we room together, a great mate of mine. And we get in the lift and open the doors and there's Dave Simmons, yes, Ben Simmons' dad, in a Sydney King shirt. And we said to Simo, what are you doing? He said, I'm playing for you guys tonight. And we said to him, well, who are you replacing? We've got two imports. He said, I don't know. I think it's Brian Caver. Mate, the guy didn't even play for us. So he had three good trainings, though. Yeah, he had three good training. But he sat on the bench that game. Like, what the hell's going on? So, mate, that's a circus. And I've been part of that. And it's bloody hard, buddy. Yeah. It is hard. Yeah. And I feel for Brendan Teese. I could see that in his eyes when I saw him, what that meant. And that's tough, man. That's real tough.
Yeah, well, maybe, you know, that's why they do need some change of some description. And so if Joey's not there, someone else maybe brings some fresh ideas. And I don't know, you know, it's been a tough year for him, of that there's no doubt. And the 12-15 reflects that. A few close losses reflects that. And a few performances where you thought, gee, some of the guys just phoned it in tonight. It's been a disappointing year. But on the other hand, they've averaged 7,449 people to their games at the Adelaide Entertainment Centre, which is nearly capacity of the venue
Brilliant.
They've left.
And brilliant. So and it looks – have you been there? You've been to the
game. Absolutely.
Looks brilliant. Looks brilliant on TV. Yes. I've done all my commentary and playing at the old arena. What was that? That was the
Titanium Security
Arena. And that was cool. You know, it was a shed, yep. I understand, but it was fun and it had good atmosphere. But this looks another level. And I actually spoke to Cam Jagar, who's obviously in the commentary team, and I know he loves it. And he's like, this is phenomenal. So,
good. Full credit to the club for doing that. And full credit to the Adelaide public for supporting him through a year where they haven't been brilliant. So, you know, as long as that is maintained, there's a future there. There's a solid future there. But we've got to move on, man, because there's a lot of other games to talk about.
Let's move on.
It's NBL rep time.
Well, if we're going to talk about games, let's talk about this Thursday night. Melbourne United play Cairns. Now, this, if ever there was a must-win game for Melbourne United, it's this weekend, right? They have to win both games. That's the only thing that they can do, and they have to get it with a healthy percentage.
Yep.
So the only luxury, and then I'll throw it out to you, the only luxury that they have is they do play, obviously, Cairns on Thursday night, and then on Sunday they play the Phoenix, and they're the last game of the round. So they will know exactly what is needed. They have to beat Cairns. If they lose the Cairns, they're out. But if they beat Cairns, then they'll know exactly what they have to win by to be able to do this. So it's going to be really interesting.
Yes. Isn't it fun that Thursday night's game, Melbourne-Cairns, is the most important game of the round. And if Cairns wins it, that's fine. Melbourne's cooked. If Melbourne wins that, Sunday's game between Melbourne and Southeast Melbourne becomes the most important game of the round because they're going to have to kill Southeast Melbourne. And that's likely because we know Mitch Creek is out now with his hyperextended knee. He's not going to play again this season. The club's made the announcement. So we've got this incredibly important Melbourne-Cairns game, which, you know, Cairns might still fancy themselves as a shot at second place. So they're not going to go in and phone it in.
You're right. Cairns can take second spot. There's no question of that. They would have to make up a 13-point difference. So, obviously, Perth would have to lose, and then Cairns would have to win by that difference there. I should also mention that if Melbourne United lose, they can actually still make the playoffs. But but they have to rely on the Breakers and Bullets losing their matches and points go differential as well. But I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, but the Breakers aren't going to lose to Phoenix. I mean, Phoenix have had a brave, gutsy, terrific, very good first season. I know they're going to look back on it and sort of go, oh, well, we didn't get to our goals. But they have achieved a lot in this year and they should be well pleased with it. But they're not going to beat New Zealand in New Zealand. And agreed. The Breakers need a percentage boost. They're going to be looking to get it. So, yeah. Then we move to Sydney, Illawarra.
And yeah, look, we've already discussed that. Yeah, Sydney's going to smash that. So then we go to Saturday night. This is the one, Brisbane versus Cairns. Obviously, let's just assume New Zealand win. Yep. Brisbane now have to win. Obviously, they lose, they're out. But not only that, they would have to win by a bucket load as well to get that win.
Yes. I mean, their fate was in their own hands, and it slipped through like sand through the hourglass, Brad, like sand through the hourglass.
Oh, were the days of our lives, buddy.
And that was the last days of their life as far as postseason goes. They need all kinds of things to happen. They need a miracle, and it's not going to happen. Look, they may get the result. They may beat Cairns. That's possible. But they're not going to win by a sufficient amount to make up the difference of what New Zealand's going to do to Phoenix, you'd expect. So I think Brisbane blew it last weekend.
Yeah, I agree. Then we go to Perth and Adelaide. Look, we've discussed that. Perth,
That could be anything, though, Brad. I mean, Adelaide, they might all just rally and go, okay, if this is Joey's farewell, let's show him what we really thought of him. And they might just play out of this. They won in Perth earlier this season. No one expected that. So,
geez, you're not an Adelaide supporter by any chance, are you? Come on,
no,
mate.
No, I'm not. I'm absolutely not a 36er supporter.
Good point. I know you. But no way.
I'm a Cairns supporter for anybody right now.
Yeah, Perth aren't going to lose this. And the reason they're not going to lose this is they need it to win second spot. So they're just not going to lose it.
Yep. So, I mean, I don't expect them to, but I don't expect it to necessarily be a blowout. Could be. But I don't, you know, I would be disappointed if the Adelaide guys, if guys like Daniel Johnson, who have really flourished in Joey Wright's regime, if someone like him doesn't play a blinder, I'd be really disappointed. You know, I think, well, you know what, you kind of owed him that. He got you as far as the Boomers. You know, you won a bunch of club MVPs. You've been All-Star 5 a bunch of times, and that's all during Joey's watch. So,
yeah, good point. I like what you're thinking. It's not going to happen, but I like what you're thinking. Yeah. Perth, you know, Adelaide are good enough. There is no question. When they're good, they're really good. It's just when they're bad, they're really bad. Perth to win that, I don't think they'll want to come third. Damien Martin's back. He'll get legs under him more. Yep. I think it'll be good. And then we round out, which we've already said, Southeast Melbourne, Phoenix versus Melbourne. Melbourne will go on a route and win that, depending if they know they can make the playoffs. If they can't, who knows what that game's going to be. It's going to be a track meet, and it will just be a, you know, 120 to 110, and one team will win if that's not on. So so it's going to be an absolute beautiful round 20 to round out the season, and I, for one, cannot wait, and it starts Thursday night.
And can I just say quickly that I finally agree with you in what you said. Out of Melbourne and Southeast Melbourne, one team will win.
Can you just say that again? You finally agree with me. That's all I wanted to hear. Don't really care.
Jeez, Brad, of course the team's got to win.
All you said was, I finally agree with you. That's all. I'm gonna actually put that on Twitter.
Yeah, go ahead.
And all our 500 listeners, where the hell did you get that from, a smiley
it's
right
0.500. It's half a listener.
Here comes Nudge's Nasty.
What's your nasty? Give it to us.
Look, I am completely against this nonsense which comes from America about respecting your opponent and dribbling out the last 25 seconds or the last 24 seconds or the last minute. I think that is absolute bullcrap. You know, if the fan paid to see a 40-minute game, for God's sake, give them a 40-minute game and play it out to the siren. Now, a lot of times teams don't get much opportunity to play their bench. They put their bench on their last couple of guys with, say, a minute to go. And what? Some kid that has just hit the floor. He's supposed to bounce it on the spot when he steps over center and watch the clock tick away. That's a load of nonsense. And that showing respect for your opponent, that is bullshit too. It's not showing respect to anybody. It doesn't respect the game. It doesn't respect your opponent. And it doesn't respect the fan who paid to see a 40-minute game of basketball.
I love what you're thinking. And I'm going to go back to the times when I was a rookie and playing those times. Mate, I wanted to score every second to show the coach you need to play me more. So I'm with you and I agree with it.
Uh-oh. Rosen's Rattler.
Rosen so Rattler, come on.
Yeah, my Rattler is, and it goes to this as well, the points percentage. So you're talking about that walking out. I can't understand how coaches are not allowing, whether it be the bench guys or whether it be the players or whatever, I can't understand why they're not going at full on the whole time to get as many points as they can. I know this is very similar to your nasty, but it's quite, I just am baffled how you're not substituting, playing and getting every point that you can. Tell me Melbourne United or not so much Cairns, but a Brisbane and New Zealand wish they hadn't scored another 10 points this season or another 15 points this season. Doesn't matter what they lose by. I'm saying out of all those wins and losses, if they would have got another 10 or 15 points by playing hard and not just, you know, having, the, you know, doing what they do and just running the clock or doing, man, get it done. I don't like it.
Well, look, I'm completely against the points percentage system. I understand why the league had to do it. I mean, I'm into head-to-head, and that means when you've got eight teams playing and they've got to play seven opponents, four times 28 games, you can work out head-to-head, no worries. Now we've got nine teams playing, and we're still playing a 28 games schedule. So that means some teams are playing teams four times and playing others three times. So now you can't necessarily do head-to-head that would work properly. So therefore, let's do points percentage. Okay, I understand that. But I hope to God that next season that they play a 32-game schedule and we go back to head-to-head, because what percentage does is that means you do need to go out there. You do need to flog the other team to build your percentage. So that means player 10, 11, 12, who normally would get on in garbage time, well, there's no such thing now because we're trying to win by as much as possible, they don't get to play. So the development of those players, those guys who work their tails off to be a part of the team, they don't get to see the floor, or they only get to see the floor when it's, you know, dribble it on the spot and it's, you know, show respect for your opponent. So I hope that the percentage system is ditched after this season and they go play 32 games as they should have.
Well, fair call. I mean, obviously they couldn't this year because we've got nine teams, but that'll hopefully come back and we can go there. Buddy, I'll move to your website, bodynodge.com, BOTINAGY.com, the best writer in the world. I love all you. Yeah, the galaxy universe. I love your thing. I saw the article that you wrote about yesterday about Ben's 80,000 bushfire crisis. I thought that was great. The opals were great and everything. So, you know, it's some nice articles there. Who was your player of the week, you said?
It was Scotty Hobson. I really enjoyed his performance and yeah, he brought it. And when you bring it, I mean, Cam Oliver played so well against Adelaide. On another week, Cam Oliver would have won. But because that was, you know, against a team that's struggling, whereas the New Zealand-Brisbane match was absolutely essential to both clubs' futures, and he performed, so that's what got him over the line.
Great point that you make. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Boddy, thank you again.
Cheers.
We covered so much today. We covered the Opals, we covered the WNBL, we covered the NBL, we covered the sports points, we covered percentages, we covered everything, and all 0.500 listeners were able to get that through. Make sure you subscribe, like, and review. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Feel free to have a crack at us, because if you don't, we will. And Boddy, your articles are as brilliant as ever. BOTINAGI.com, the best.
NAGY, jeez. Spell it right. You're going to spell it NAGI.
Oh, NAGY. Everyone knows. B-O-T-I-N-A-G-Y.
You're
going to
say Nodge this week, but you're going to have Nodge or something.
.com. Love him. Love the writers. Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you next week.